I was blessed as I opened the bulletin this morning and I read the little quote down the bottom of the bulletin. I don't know if you've read it. It says this: when God calls you to something, He's not always calling you to succeed. He's calling you to obey, and the excess of the calling is up to Him. The obedience is up to you. And I thought that was a very great quote, and this morning it ties in very well with what we're going to be looking at this morning. If you've got your Bibles, could you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 27? We are still looking at David in those years before he became king in our series in 1 Samuel. And when you arrive at 1 Samuel chapter 27, let's just pray and commit this time to the Lord before we look at God's word this morning. We thank you, dear Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the truths of your word and that, Lord, your word speaks to us every day. Lord, we pray that in these few moments where we open your word this morning, that you would speak to each and every heart this morning as you've spoken to my heart. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us something special this morning from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time we looked at David, we found David had made a decision to flee into the land of the Philistines, a country of men who hated and despised God. And we saw how his long trial with King Saul had caused him to make a decision based upon his own heart and his own feelings. And he moved his men and himself and his family and all their families into the land of the Philistines. We looked at last time the dangers in following our own heart. The dangers in following our own hearts and our own feelings instead of following the Lord and asking for his guidance on our lives. Now, this morning, as we come to the passage this morning, I'd like to look at the subject, and I've called the message this morning, "So Should We Compromise?" So should we compromise? It's with great fear and trepidation I come this morning because the Lord has spoken to my heart about this passage as I've studied it, and I feel unworthy to speak on this subject this morning. But this is what the Lord has laid on my heart. The word compromise is not listed here in the Bible, but it's an overall view of what I would like to look at this morning. In the Webster's Dictionary, the word compromise means the acceptance of standards that are lower than desirable, or to lower your principles to a lesser value for a time. And we're going to take up this story this morning, and David and his men are in the land of the Philistines. We take up the story this morning in verse 7. In verse 7, I just want to read a few verses here to get us in the context of where we're at this morning. And it says this: in the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Jezreelites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. This morning, we find that even though David was in the land of the Philistines, he still kept himself and his men busy in warfare. Now, you might wonder why he would do this and why he would go and attack the Amalekites and the other people that were there who were related to the Amalekites. And while doing this, he had to be careful how much information came back to King Achish of the Philistines because he was dwelling in his lands. So as I looked at this passage, I thought, so why the Amalekites? Why did David go, why did he go and attack and his men, the Amalekites? Well, I believe David was finishing some of what God had told King Saul to do as a king, and he hadn't done. To get the context of this, we need to look back quite a number of years. And if you actually turn back to 1 Samuel 15, you'll see God had given a very clear command to King Saul. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 2, it says this, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt." I've called this point the condemnation of King Saul. The condemnation of King Saul. The Lord said to King Saul back all those years ago to go and to smite the Amalekites. The Amalekites had cowardly attacked the children of Israel as they left Egypt from behind. It was a cowardly attack. Don't turn there, but I'll just read a quick account in Exodus 17. It says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go and fight with Amalek, and tomorrow I will stand upon the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." And we know the story. As Moses was holding the rod up in the air, as he was holding it above his head, Israel would prevail. And as his arms were tired and his rod would start to fall, Amalek would prevail. And then if I read on a little bit, "And the Lord said to Moses, write this for memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Now, King Saul was told clearly to go and smite Amalek, to go and destroy them, as part of this judgment from God upon them for what they did to the children of Israel many, many years ago. And the command to King Saul back then was very clear. In 1 Samuel 15:3, he said, "Go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." God had told King Saul those many years ago to wipe out the Amalekites as God's judgment on them. But we all know the story, and we know that Saul and the people had spared Agag, and they'd spared the best of the sheep and the best of the lambs and all that was good. It says it in verse 9. And they spared all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. King Saul here and the children of Israel sort of did the job. They sort of went there, but they kept everything that was good. Everything that had value, everything that they could use, they kept. As well as some of the people. Because it says there in that verse, "And they would not utterly destroy them." King Saul had a selective obedience to God here. He did not perform all that God had told him to do. And we know as it goes on, in verse 10 it says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried to the Lord all night." King Saul's disobedience had caused great grief to Samuel and to the Lord. And it goes on to say that the Lord had put King Saul off from being king. He had told him that that was it. He could not be king because he could not follow the commandments that God had given him. King Saul, there in 15, he blamed all the people. He said, the people, they have brought them from the Amalekites. The people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. King Saul had not obeyed what God had said to him. And then Samuel spoke in verse 19. He said, wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel in verse 20 there of chapter 15, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil and the sheep and the oxen and the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. King Saul blamed all the people for his lack of leadership in this way. And then we read that those famous verses that Samuel said to King Saul, hath the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. One thing I'd like to point out here, God takes our obedience seriously. You are responsible for your obedience to God. I am responsible for my own obedience to God. Well, this gives us a bit of a background onto why David went and attacked the Amalekites. I'd like to see the next point is the conviction of David. The disobedience of King Saul is why God rejected him from being king. This is why, if we go back to 1 Samuel 27, this is why I believe that God laid on David's heart to go and to finish the task that he had given to Saul. I believe David took this responsibility on himself to prove himself as a king, to prove himself that he would honour God and he would honour God's commandments to him. He would go further than what King Saul did in obeying what God wanted. God wanted to do right and to right this wrong that King Saul had done. And this is why I believe that he went to attack the Amalekites. And you know, as I thought about this, we should do that. What's right too. We should try and right the wrongs of others. Not by our words, not in judging others, but in our actions. Not in puffing ourselves up, but in encouraging others. Paul said these words to the Galatians, to the New Testament church. He said this, Galatians 6:1. Don't turn there, I'll just read it. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Paul says here, if someone does the wrong thing, what does he say? Does he say, go and judge him? Go and throw him out? No, he does not. The Apostle Paul says here, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Too many times when a brother or sister falls, we as Christians kick them while they're down. Too many times when someone falls into sin, we just allow that and don't say anything. We just allow it. We just don't try to restore them. So many times it could be us. Because that's what it says in the end of that verse, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We are all human. We are all sinners. It says to restore them in meekness. I believe David went and attacked the Amalekites because he wanted to right this wrong that King Saul had done. But the thing is with it, David wasn't the king yet, but he was in a land of the Philistines. Unfortunately for David, this caused a compromise. My next point I'd like to see is the compromise of David. The only thing is here, when David is on enemy land and he's answerable to King Achish, the king of the Philistines, I believe he could not be perfectly honest with him. Chapter 27 and verse 10, it says this, "And Achish said, 'Whither have you made a road today?' And David said, 'Against the south of Judah, against the south of Jerahmeelites, against the south of the Kenites.'" Now, while some of this was correct, David hadn't really attacked the south of Judah. He hadn't really attacked the south of Judah. I believe that Matthew Henry had a very good comment on this, and I just want to read it for you. Matthew Henry said this. He said, "Against the south of Judah," in verse 10, "it was true that he had invaded those countries that lay to the south of Judah, but he made Achish to believe that he invaded those that lay south in Judah. For the Ziphites had, by example, once and again betrayed him. So Achish understood him and thence inferred that he had made his people to abhor him," which we see in verse 12. "And so riveted himself in the interest of Achish. Achish's good opinion of him and the confidence he put in him aggravate his sin in deceiving him. Thus, which some in other instances David seems to reflect on in Psalm 119, verse 29, when he says these words, 'Remove me from the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously.'" Unfortunately, when David was in this land, he put himself and his people into a position where they would have to not be totally honest with where they were and what they were doing. He needed to be tactical about the information he gave to King Achish. And a lot of people say, a lot of commentators said, this was just a part of war. But I believe because of his decision to be in that land, it caused compromise. Do you know, the Bible says we are to be in the world, but not of the world. By being in the world, it's easy for us to compromise. You would say, he had to compromise to save himself and his family, and this was just warfare. And we could explain it away that way. But he had to lie to keeping good with the king here just to stay alive. He could have blamed King Saul, as a lot of people do. They blame others for their compromise. He could have blamed King Saul and said, "It's King Saul's fault that I'm had to run to this land." But no matter what it was, it seems that David had to compromise in the area of his truthfulness for this time when he was in the land of the Philistines. It seems like a consequence of that decision to go in. So many times when we're in the world, it's so easy to compromise. The next thing that he compromised was his standards on warfare. Have a look in 1 Samuel 27 and verse 11. And it says this, "And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, 'Lest they should tell on us,' saying, 'So did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines.'" In this land, this wicked land of the Philistines, David could not let his guard down. He had to even change his methods of warfare. He had to compromise his standards to stay alive in this country. He was fearful about what information would arrive back at King Achish. And the verse says there, lest they should tell on us. So when he did these attacks, he had to change his standards of warfare to maintain the safety of him and his family. Well, he had King Achish bluff, didn't he? Because in verse 12 we read these words, and Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel to utterly abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. King Achish said, I've got him. I've got him exactly where I want him. I've got him. He is going to be my servant forever. He believed that David was fully committed to him and to his cause. It would now seem as if the Philistines, and it would seem to the Philistines that David was one of them. David was one of them. Do you know, as we look at this story, the Lord touched my heart. As Christians, we have to be very careful of compromise. We're in the world, but we are not to be of the world. Do you know, as Christians, there will always be a good reason to compromise. There will always be someone we can blame for our compromise. How do we recognize compromise in our lives? How do we recognize it? I believe James has the answer. Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 17. And it says this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's how to recognize it. Your conscience will tell you. If you know what is right and you know to do good and then you decide not to do it, it's compromise. Compromise is sin. Do you know, there used to be a song that used to say, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. It will always take you further. We need to be careful because it all starts with compromise. It just starts with that little tiny bit. It starts with that one small little white lie. As parents, we need to be doubly careful of compromise. Our children are watching. Compromise can be the greatest stumbling block to a child. Greatest compromise to a family. Compromise, you know, just one small little swear word that won't really hurt, you know. That's nothing really. It's compromise. Just that one little glass of wine won't hurt. The family's watching, it's compromise. That little habit I've got that's sort of just a little bit worldly, that won't hurt. It's just a little bit. Oh, I just have to listen to the radio all day at work, so I may as well listen to it while I'm at home as well, because I've just got to get used to it. I've got it all day at work. It's compromise. Should we compromise? No. Do we? Yes. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We should obey God's word and follow his direction, follow his ways. And so often I fall in this compromise. Well, as we leave the story this morning, King Achish believes David is fully committed to him and to his cause. Well, the next time we look at David, King Achish is going to test this. He's going to test David. And we'll see what happens next time we look at King David. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word. And Lord, we know that, Lord, your word is a sword that pierces our heart, Lord. And as you have touched my heart this morning, we pray you'd touch each and every heart here. Lord, we pray that you'd help us not to compromise. Help us to love you, to have standards, Lord, that uplift you. Help us, Lord, to stand up for you, no matter what the cost. We thank you, Lord, for this time in your word this morning. We pray you be with us as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.